Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday the 12th of August, recording at 9:12 p.m., and that's British summertime. Now, interesting day in here today. One of the articles, I'm going to use it tomorrow on Bloomberg, was Kenneth Rogoff. You remember he's the Harvard economist who's been quite influential overall, just saying that this time it's different, and he's calling for reflation. And that what's interesting is that that's in contrast to what he'd been saying in 1985 in a paper. But of course, those were very different circumstances at that time. And inflation was a major concern, and rightly so. But today we have more disinflationary and deflationary pressures really on a worldwide basis. And so Rogoff is saying that he actually feels that we're on a win-win here with either Janet Yellen or Lawrence Summers as the replacement to Ben Bernanke in leading the Fed, because they are more dovish than many of the other people, and that's actually what the environment requires. Now, I think that's an important statement overall, and I think President Obama is of that line of thinking as well. And my hunch on this is that the only way we're going to get any tightening, we will get some reduction in the QE numbers, I think, certainly in the latter part of this year, or at latest in the first quarter of next year. But that's not really a tightening factor, and they're not going to move short-term interest rates up, as I've mentioned on a number of occasions before. But the risk is that the market starts to tighten for them, and we saw that really in the move to the upside by long-dated government bond yields since May, and they are really relatively firm in here. And although I think that the Fed will try to inhibit, is trying to inhibit upward progress, that if the market does push those rates higher, that will clearly represent some tightening that the Fed has not tried to engineer overall. Now, moving on from that to have a quick look at these markets in here today. Mixed performance, but not bad overall. In Asia Pacific, Japan had another little slip to the downside. I think the GDP growth figures were a little slower than expected. And the yen is a bit firmish, although it's easing a little bit here today to 96.82 against the US dollar. Star performers here. The Hong Kong Hang Seng Index certainly did very well, up 2.13%, and the China mainland indices did even better. Shanghai Composite up 2.39% on some better economic data here overall. That helped generally. Taiwan was higher. Australia had a good day, up over 1%. And India also, which has had a bad month overall, but is bouncing off some previous lows. The ASEAN indices, they were mostly a little bit lower, with Thailand leading the way down just over 1%. Now, the Philippines and Malaysia were a bit stronger. Thailand and Indonesia soft. Now, the European markets were down a little bit at the beginning of the day, but picked up somewhat, and it was quite a quiet day in Europe. Remember, Europe had a very strong week last week, so this is not a bad performance here overall. In the Americas, the U.S. indices closed clearly closer to their highs of the day rather than their lows, and they gradually came back upwards this evening. And the star performers in here were the NASDAQ index, which is up just over a quarter of a percent, and the Russell 2000 index. Now, they've been leaders in here. They were leaders last month and are still in that pole position overall, whereas the Dow and the S&P had tiny declines, just a tenth of a percent on the S&P and less than that, almost breaking even on the Dow. Okay, Canada, a little firmer, Mexico, a little weaker. And moving on, I think, to other interesting areas, bond markets. The yields were on the Western bonds, yields were a little lower earlier in the day, but then they picked up again, and those closed higher on the day. They actually had very close to, or might have actually seen on the 10-year U.S. 10-year and the U.S. 5-year, we might have actually, sorry, the U.S. 30-year and the U.S. 10-year, we might have actually seen small upside key day reversals, although I wouldn't read too much into that as they're still in ranging patterns here overall. But those bond markets, I don't like them, as you know. I don't want to be investing in bond markets. Certainly at this time, they are in a bear market overall. But they're going to be an important influence over the medium to longer term. And I think we want to keep a good close eye on them overall. Now, in currencies, the dollar was a little bit firmer as it was on Friday, and that's checking a bit of a decline that we've seen in recent weeks. And the Australian dollar slipped down to 91.47 against the US, and the euro a little lower at 133.03, but you can see there's not a whole lot going on here. And sterling a little lower at 154.64 against the US dollar. More interesting things going on in the commodity markets. And there we saw good rallies by gold and silver in here today. And the gold bullion is closed out just under $1,336. And that's a new recovery high. And similarly, only slightly more dramatic, silver closed up over 91 cents at $2,132. And that's good action here, excuse me, overall. And they really dominated the precious metal scene because palladium, which had been a relative strength leader for so much of the last couple of years, was actually down a little bit, only slightly, and platinum was down a little bit, just pulling back underneath that $1,500 level. So this was really gold and silver's day. And what we actually see when you look at the charts is there are two upward dynamics. Today and on Friday, or was it on Thursday? I've written them up. You'll be able to see those charts. Of course, you can look at them anytime in the library that you wish to. But it, I think, further increased the possibilities that I've been talking about, looking at the preliminary evidence over the last few weeks, preliminary evidence that we were in a bottoming area for these precious metals. And I think the action that we've seen in the last few days for silver in particular suggests that that is likely. You know, silver had fallen all the way down from that over $50 down to below $20 and ranging around in that 19, even briefly down to, I think, $1,870 range. But The pattern does look different down here, and I think we're getting both short covering and a little bit of new demand actually coming into the markets. Now, a theme that I mentioned on Friday in that big picture outlook was how some of the cyclical rotations that we were seeing in markets was causing some of these depressed commodity markets to pick up. One of the ones that picked up first was the crude oil markets, and they were steady again today, and that's reversing earlier weakness because, for instance, the WTI crude, that's the West Texas Intermediate, the U.S. contract, now that closed here at 106.16. It was down at 105 earlier in the day, and also the Brent, and that closed at 109.05, and that was down at 107.43, so over a dollar and a half off that low. This is a worry. I don't think it's a big worry here right now, but again, I've mentioned on so many occasions, we do not want to see that those crude oil markets pushing up around the $120 level, let alone higher. I don't think that's justified economically, but there is a lot going on, as you know, in the Middle East, and that may be helping to push those up a little bit more. And we may also be getting some long speculation in there as well. But getting crude oil pushes up, that's a game changer, as we know. Industrial metals, they look like they are in the recovery, and China's good gains that we saw here today will contribute to that line of thinking. More commodities up than down on the day, and that's a wrap. All the best to all of you.